When you study the precious word of God, friend, you realize that the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ was for a limited period. Just 3 years. And just like everyone else, we have only a limited period too. It's not in your hands and it's not in mine, it's in the hands of God. But during those years, the Lord Jesus Christ, he must be about his Father's business. He went to villages and into towns preaching and teaching the gospel. Sometimes it was to individuals he challenged. Whether it was Philip or Nathanael or Nicodemus or the woman at the well or the man at the pool of Bethesda or the blind man. We could go on through it. Individuals that the Lord Jesus Christ dealt with and brought salvation to them. But then on other occasions, the Lord Jesus Christ dealt with the crowds. Sometime it was a crowded house. On many occasions, it was a crowded synagogue or there at the in the open air by the seaside. But the Lord Jesus Christ preached the word wherever he went. Challenged the hearts of men and women. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ was a very simple preacher. He didn't talk over the heads of his congregation, because whenever the Savior spoke, many times he spoke in parables, and people would understand what those parables were all about, whether it was the parable of the two builders, the man who built on the sand, or whether he built his house upon the rock, or the workers going into the vineyard. They would understand that, or the lost silver, or the lost sheep, and the lost son. They would understand that, or the mustard seed. The faith is a grain of mustard seed. They would understand about the mustard seed, or the man who went out to sow one day. And some of the seed fell by the wayside, and others upon stony ground, and others amongst thorns, and then others upon good ground. Yes, they understood about the sowing of the seed. He told the parable of the wheat and tares. They would know that. They would understand that. Yes, he was a simple preacher, so that people would understand. He was a straight-talking preacher. There were no frills with the Lord Jesus Christ. He was very pointed. He was very plain in what he had to say. He was also a serious preacher. He dealt with eternal issues. He preached, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Yes, he was serious in his proclamation. I want to come to one of his meetings tonight. Why don't you come with me? One of the meetings that the Savior had is found here in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. If you look in the opening verse, it says, "In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another." So many people gathered to hear the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there were the times of his popularity, but he also knew what it was, that the people would be few. Because remember, the Lord Jesus Christ, he had the wonderful miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. There were 12 baskets over. And then there came a moment whenever he started to preach to them about eternal issues, about the issue of their soul. Then he cried out. It says this, "From that time many of them went back and walked with him no more." And the Lord Jesus Christ, and he turned to his disciples and said, "Will ye also go away?" And you notice the Lord Jesus Christ said to them, "Beware." He's giving a warning to his disciples here. And first of all, I believe, my friend, listen, beware of the crowds. Because you know, many people and many preachers can be carried away with popularity of the crowd. Savior wasn't. Because the Lord Jesus knew what was in the hearts of the people. You know, there's a temptation. The preachers, whenever the crowds are around them, it's very tempting to the preacher to gain a popularity and forget what his business is about. Preaching Christ. Paul said to young Timothy before he died, he said, Timothy, preach the word. How many preachers, whenever the crowds came around them, they got puffed up, they got carried away, and sad to say they no longer preach the word anymore because the people didn't want to hear it. They wanted to be popular. They need to be aware of the crowd. But then he says this, beware, look at verse 1, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees. And the word there, it says, where the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And the word there, my friend, for hypocrisy, it means an actor, one who is playing the part, one with a mask. In other words, he's living a pretense. The Pharisees were people that paraded their religiosity, but they weren't right with God. It was all an act. It's all a show. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 23, he said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. He knew all about them. He said they were hypocrites. In other words, they were wearing the mask. They're putting on the pretense. How many people can even come to church, friend, and people think they're all right? And people tell them what a good person you are, and it's lovely to have you here because you're a wonderful believer. And yet, my friend, you're not walking with God. You're just putting on an act. I remember preaching one afternoon in a gospel mission like this. When the appeal was made at the end of the service, a young man sitting at the back of the congregation raised his hand, indicated his desire to come to Christ. I spoke to him afterwards. And as I gathered with this young man, he said to me, you know, I'm the superintendent of the Sunday school. And he said, God has revealed to me today that all I've had was an act. He was reared in a brethren home. He was reared under the gospel. He made a profession of faith, and the family all were delighted about that. And he went through the waters of baptism and all the rest of it. And there he was that Sunday afternoon. And he cried on God to save him. He said, Lord, forgive me because I've been a hypocrite. Just an act. Then let me tell you, God will take the mask off. And you're far better to face it now. You're far better to stand up before God tonight and know and admit and confess you're standing before God. Listen, and if you're not walking with God, friend, if you're not living the life in God's name, stop the hypocrisy. Stop the act. For God will remove the mask. God says, beware. Talking to his disciples, you beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. But not only did he warn about hypocrisy, look at verses 2 and 3. There is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye shall have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ears and closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetop. What's he talking about, friend? Listen. He's talking about the judgment. He says, beware of the judgment. Because, friend, one day you're going to stand before God and the books of God are going to open. And every man shall give an account of himself to God. He warns them of the judgment. The day when the truth will be uncovered. And the man or the woman or the young person that thinks that they are all right and they're living a religious life, but they haven't a relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and they stand before God and the books of God are open, and there's their sin. You see, it's never been blotted out. It's never been cleansed. The blood of Jesus hasn't been applied. You can have all the waters of baptism, my friend, whether it's a few drops or whether it's a whole tank. And if that's all you have, your sins are not covered. Make no mistake about it. It's only the blood. It's only the precious blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that can cleanse your heart and take away your sin. He says, remember, there's a day coming. There is nothing covered that shall not be revealed or hid that shall not be known. The day when God opens the books and you stand before Him. Tell me what then? I said he's a serious preacher. Then look again. Go down to verse 4. I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that of no more that they can do. He's talking about the fear of man. Be not afraid of them that can only kill the body. But that's all they can do. And friend, there's many a man and woman has sat in a gospel meeting, young person, and they know they need to be saved. And deep in their hearts there's a longing to be saved and to know God's peace and God's pardon in their soul. But there's a barrier. And what is it? The fear of man. The Bible says the fear of man brings a snare. I couldn't let the world laugh at me. I couldn't let my family mock me. I couldn't let them cast me aside. No, my friend. Fear of man. Some of you, maybe tonight, that's why you're not saved. You're afraid of what others will think. I'll tell you, when you stand before God, friend, you're alone. Just you and Him. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Every man was judged out of the things that were written in the book. God's got the record. And you and I may want to forget certain things, but let me tell you, my friend, if you're still in your sin, your sin's on the record. Thank God the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. And the record can be clean and your record can be clear. And thank God you've nothing to fear. Because you're not standing in your own self-righteousness or even your own sins. Glory to God, you're standing in the righteousness of Christ which has been reckoned to you. That's perfect. And your old record's passed. As far as the east is from the west, so far as they removed our transgressions from. But the fear of man's real, friend. And many a young man and an older man, and many a young woman and an older woman, many a boy and a girl, listen, they've gone to hell because of the fear of man. Stand their soul. The feared man. But not God. And then the Lord Jesus goes on. Look at verse number 5. Not only the fear of man. He says, listen, I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear Him. Fear Him which after He hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear Him. One of the marks of the last days in the scriptures, it says there's no fear of God. before their eyes. And is it not true? Man used to, you know, hide their sin. Now he's brazen. He's brass necked. He doesn't care. He put it up on the internet. He looked upon himself as a great lad. I'm the hero. I'm the muscle man. Makes a fool of himself. But listen, God says, I forewarn you whom you shall fear. Not man, but fear him. That's God. Listen, which after he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Notice the word, friend, cast into hell. There's coming a day when he shall send forth his angels to arrest you, dear sinner, and to be cast from God's presence into the depths of hell for all eternity. This is a serious preacher. You see, he preaches about hell. That's absent from the pulpits today. Seems to be that nobody wants to talk about it. Many of the churches today, my, it's blotted out of their Bible. Of course, they don't often turn to the Bible anymore. But they certainly not turn to the passages which mention about hell. No, they're all going to heaven. Everybody's going to heaven, friend. The sinner's going to heaven. The immoral person's going to heaven. The drunkard's going to heaven. The murderer's going to heaven. Everybody's going to heaven. God's too good to send a man to hell. Let me tell you, my friend, don't you charge God wrongfully. God doesn't send you to hell. You take yourself to hell. You choose it. You make your choice. I stand at the door and knock, says Jesus. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and I will sup with him and he with me. But men and women say, no, no, Jesus, I don't need you. They turn their back on God and walk away. But Jesus says, fear him that hath power to cast you into hell. Then as he says again, I say unto you, fear him. Tell me, are you afraid of God casting you into hell tonight? Does it bother you? Can you go to sleep, put your head upon the pillow, unconverted person, and know that tonight you could be called out into God's eternity? You're standing in the very vestibule of God's eternity, and there you are, and you place your head upon the pillow, another night in sin. No fear of God. No fear of hell. Don't want to think about it. Jesus says, I forewarn you. And then go on down to verse number 10. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto whom that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him. He warns about an unforgiven sin. A sin that is never cleansed. A sin that will never be forgiven, friend. A sin of blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. The unpardonable sin. Tell me. You say, preacher, but did you not say that every sin could be forgiven? Yes, I did. But you see, before sins are forgiven, they must be confessed. And the sin of blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, it's not forgiven because it's never repented of. And man deliberately and defiantly, as the Spirit of God troubles them, as the Spirit of God makes them tremble in their sin, they sit like steel. Say, no, God! I'm not coming! I'll not yield! Spirit of God comes and challenging you concerning your sin. You say, I love it. I love my sin. And fools make a mock at sin. You read the story of Pharaoh in the Old Testament. And you notice over and over again it says this, Pharaoh hardened his heart. And when God stepped in with another plague, and then whenever the plague was removed, Pharaoh hardened his heart. But friend, it changes. Because then it says this, after another plague, and God hardened Pharaoh's heart. You know what God did? God handed him over to his sin. You want it? Take it. If you want hell, take it. God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Don't play around with the things of God, friend. God's nobody's fool. Don't play loose with your soul. Jesus said, what would it profit you if you gain the whole world and you lose your own soul? For what can a man give in exchange for his soul? And the Lord Jesus Christ is warning. He says, listen, I forewarn you. Yes, he was a solemn preacher. But then go down to verse 13. After all of this solemn preaching, it says, and one of the company said unto Jesus, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. My friend, it's as if Jesus Christ, who was talking about eternal things, about the fear of man, about the judgment, about the day when man would stand before God, about when God could cast a soul into hell itself, about the unpardonable sin, about the day when God unmasks the sinner and the hypocrite. And it's as if Jesus has never spoken those things. A man interrupts the Savior. And he said, Master, will you tell my brother to divide his inheritance with me? You see, all that mattered to him was an inheritance. That's all he cared about. A bit of property. Not about his soul. All he cared about, Lord, Master, I want that property here. And my brother has got to tell him to divide it with me. All he cared about was a bit of property for time. And he cast everything that Jesus talked about eternity. He just cast it his way. As if it didn't matter. Tell me. What matters most to you, friend? Before you point the finger at this man, tell me, are you saved? Have you humbled yourself before the Lord? Have you called upon the Lord to save you? You know, the Lord Jesus, just in one few words, verse 14, man, who made me a judge or divider over you? The Lord Jesus was not involved in the family dispute over property. He was dealing with eternity. And I'll tell you, my friend, you may get the property, but I'm going to tell you something. You'll leave it. You'll leave it. Don't care how big the house, you'll leave it. And you'll go to eternity. Because even at its longest, you're only here for a wee while. eternities forever. And after the Lord Jesus said, who made me a judge or a divider over you? Look at verse 15. And then he said to them, and he's going to take the lesson of what has happened there in the midst of this solemn meeting where he was interrupted in his preaching. And Jesus says, verse 15, take heed. Be warned. Be warned. You know, there's more to life than earthly possessions. Many a man has been so taken up with things, is forgotten eternity. Now, very quickly, I want you to look at the story that Jesus told. First of all, notice his plenty. Verse 16, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. In other words, here was a farmer, and he was a hard worker. He was a man that swept the sweat of his brow. I believe he was earning his bread. I believe he was honestly doing a hard day's work. And his labors were richly blessed. And the word of God said, his ground brought forth plentifully. He had everything that money could buy. They said Rockefeller was a multimillionaire in the United States. He was asked one time, how many more dollars would be enough? He said, always one more. You see, friend, even with all this man had, he wasn't happy. He hadn't contentment. The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, I know money's good to go to shopping with, and it's nice to have it, but let me tell you, friend, a man's life consisteth more than the things that he possesseth. The Lord Jesus told the story in Luke chapter 16 about the rich man. And it says, and he died and he was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. In Mark's Gospel chapter 10, he talks about the rich young ruler that fell at the feet of the Lord. Jesus looked into the very eyes of the Son of God and he said, good master, what must I do that I may inherit eternal life? And he had great possessions. You see, with all his possessions, something missing. Something missing. He needed something more. Eternal life. Remember, you're like that young man, friend. And you're grabbing for the things of life. And then one day, you let them go. That young man turned his back on Christ because of his great riches. That young man's still existing, you know, as I'm standing in this pulpit tonight, because that's not a parable. Mark chapter 10, the rich young ruler. That young man's in hell tonight. His soul's in hell. And that for all eternity. And here's a man, and he has the plenty, but notice the problem, verse 17. And he thought within himself, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my goods. I've got so much. And I didn't where to build it. He wasn't content. He's restless. He's no peace. So much. And he talked to himself. Somebody said, why did he talk to himself? He couldn't trust anybody else. Probably thinking that somebody else would do him.
diddle them, fraud them. So the Bible says he thought within himself, he talked to himself. And what did he talk about? He says, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits and my goods. He was troubled. Where would he put all that he had? And yet what he didn't know, he was a short few hours from eternity. Oh, men and women, notice no mention of God here. What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. Didn't acknowledge God blessed him. God blessed his labors. God blessed the ground. No mention of God. But then notice quickly his plan. He says, this will I do. He thought it over. And he thought long, and then he planned. And then he said, this will I do. Self is on the throne of all his arrangements. The building program was all settled. This will I do. I will pull down my barns and I'm going to build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Have a good time. It's all in your hands. That's his plan, friend. But once again, no mention of God. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And I'll bestow all my goods, my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Listen. He mistook his body for his soul. You see, all his goods were for staying. But he had nothing or no thought of leaving. Tell me, what are you promising yourself tonight? He mistook himself for God. He says, I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Eat, drink, and be many years. You see, it's all in his hands. It's all about me. I see him. He closes over the plans. He's happy now. That's a settle. Tomorrow, I'm going to demolish those buildings. I'll get the men to start the work. And then in a wee while, they'll be filled, the new ones filled. And then I'm going to sit back and have a good time. Many years. But notice his parting, friend. Look at the next words, verse 20. Two words make the difference. But God. Do you notice something? That's the first mention of God. He had no plans with God, didn't it? He had no time for God. God wasn't in his story. God wasn't in his plans. The fool has said in his heart, no God. And that's how many people in Korea are living tonight. As if there were no God. But one day they'll find out there is and they'll meet him.
But God said, and God said unto him, thy fill. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Friend, let me tell you, as far as the world was concerned, that was a rich man. He was a successful, prosperous farmer. But as far as God was concerned, he was only a fool. Notice the summoner. God. And every man will find out, let me tell you, God is the one that's in control. The day of our birth was appointed by God, friend. The day of our death is appointed by God. And God hath appointed a day which he will judge the world by that man whom he hath ordained. Yes, the summoner, God. But notice the summons this night. This night. God looked over the parapet of glory, friend, and God said, tonight. You know, he never had time to open the plans in the morning. Because that night, God required his soul. He went to bed content that was all in his hand. And God says, man, you're a fool. Tonight. Tonight. This night, thy soul shall be required of thee. He didn't want to go. He didn't plan to go. He didn't offer to go, friend. God required us so. God says, time's up. It's over. He never opened those plans in the morning. He closed his eyes and he went to sleep. And he opened them. And this is, who's saying this? This is the lovely Lord Jesus. The one who came to seek and to save sinners. The one that offers salvation to the lost. And God says, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. I see them walking down the road after the coffin. The neighbors are walking behind the coffin to the grave. I can hear them say, what a man. What a man. What a farmer. What a farmer. And God whispers, what a fool. That was God's obituary notice, friend. I'll guarantee it wasn't in the paper that way the next day. But God wrote over his life and death and eternity. A fool. Some years ago, in the States, a railroad man was dying, a friend sat by his bed. And he was there lying in that bed, gasping for breath, and he reached out his hand, and his friend gripped his hand. And that railroad man said this. He says, you're gripping the hand of the greatest failure in the world. His friend said, no, don't say that. You have built a great railroad empire. You've made a fortune. You've employed hundreds of men. Don't say that. Oh, yes, says the man. But I left Christ out. And anyone who does that is a failure. Tell me, what about you, friend? What if God says to you tonight, and he can? God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. What if God says to you, time's up, man. Time's up, woman. I've called, I've spoken, but you've refused. You've heard your last message. You've heard your last prayer. As I close, a preacher was driving down a Tennessee highway. He passed a white cross on the mountainside. He said to one of the locals, tell me, why the cross? He said, you know, that cross marks the spot where a man died in an automobile accident. Friend, as I read that today, I thought this. Where you're sitting in that pew tonight, will that mark a spot where you have heard the last gospel message, the last gospel appeal, the last gospel call for you to be saved? And you're sitting on that spot right now. This night, thy soul shall be required of thee. What will you do with Jesus as he calls? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word tonight. Thou knowest, our God, the hearts of everyone that's gathered here. Thou knowest they're standing before thee. Thou knowest their heart. And oh God, I pray that as we come to the closing moments of this meeting, let not one play the fool. Let not one leave this service tonight without knowing Jesus as their Savior. Oh God, forbid that they'll walk away while the voice of God is calling. May there be in time. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, we're going to sing a little verse of a hymn, Just As I Am, Without One Plea. Friend, we're singing it for you. If you're not saved or backslidden, we're singing it for you. And if there's one in this gathering, you say, preacher, I'm not saved or I'm backslidden, but I'd like to get right with God tonight. I'm not going to play the fool anymore. I want to trust the Savior. Preacher, lead me to Christ as we sing this verse. Would you slip that hand above your head, friend, that I'll see it. After the meeting's over, we'll go to a private room and show you from God's word how you can really, really know and be sure that you're saved and ready for heaven. Don't play the fool, friend. It's your immortal soul's at stake.